And we were at district conference this week and just blessed probably, I think there was 540 ministers and wives, and Brother Harpole was the speaker and just did a phenomenal job. He's from Indiana, he has a great church in Indiana, teaches all over the world, just has some great revelation, and I am so glad we've gotten to know him. He tells me that 28 years ago, he came to our church when we were still in Sturtevant, and he still remembers the service. Would you welcome, amen, Brother Harpole to this pulpit.
And you may be seated for a moment. Thank you. Can you help me? I've had many tears and sorrow. I've had questions for tomorrow. There were times I didn't know right from wrong. But in my lonely hours, yes, those blessed lonely hours, Jesus lets me know that I am not alone. Come on, someone help me say, I'm singing through it all. Oh, through it all. I've learned to trust in Jesus. And I've learned to trust in God. Oh, through it all. Oh, through it all. I've learned to depend upon his word. Sing with me now through it all. Oh, through it all. I've learned to trust in Jesus. And I've learned to trust in God through it all. Oh, through it all. I've learned to depend upon his word. Now, I know you've been standing and sitting down, but would you just stand one more time and lift up your hands unto the Lord? He's a great God. And I need a little monitor right there. If you could turn that up. Thank you, brother. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. So happy to be with all of you today and with your precious pastor and his sweet wife. And so I have a good memory. And I was singing with a group many years ago called Carruthers and Company. And I was the company. Not always welcome company, just the company. We sang all over the country, and we traveled internationally. We sang, and sometimes I was like the accessory, you know. But it wasn't bad. It was good. I was happy about it. But when we came here to this area and we sang at the church that many years ago, Sister Schumacher was especially kind with me. And she cared for me, and so I remember that. And when I was asked to come and preach here, that was the first thing in my mind. And I will say to you, I'm so glad and honored to be with you. And yes, it is, I have to be careful when I miss one of my Sundays, as every pastor has to be careful. I don't really like to travel out on my Sundays, because that's our church day, right? That's your church day. I don't even like to be on vacation on church day. I like to be home. Something's always wrong on vacation when it's Sunday morning and I'm not in church. But when I had heard that the Schumachers wanted me to come, and I spoke to Pastor, I was very honored, because in my mind, I remembered Sister Schumacher. I remembered her home. And they were very surprised that I remembered all of that. But I remembered all about them, because when people show you kindness, you don't forget that. And so I want to just recognize your pastor and his sweet wife today, because they are stalwarts in the apostolic doctrine, and you are very privileged and honored to have them. Amen. And oh, a couple years ago, I suppose, now I've lost track of time, but Brother and Sister Coffey came to our church. Now, not the Brother Coffey that just walked up here. He does have a mom and dad and a grandmother that attends our church. And so, so a couple year or so ago, 2 years ago, his parents decided to come to our church, and they drive some distance to get there. And so we are very happy that they're there, and his mother and father serve the Lord. So I feel like I've got friends in this house today. Amen. And if you're not my friend, please start right now. Amen. I just want to preach the word of the Lord. I feel like just preaching the scripture. And I'm going to let the Lord do the rest of the work. This is the book he wrote. There is one author. There's about 32 writers in the Bible. There's only one author. God is the author. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. The Bible only describes two authors, the author of confusion and the author and the finisher of our faith. So if it's of confusion, you know that's the wrong author. If it's the author of faith, do you know it's of the Lord? Amen. So I give great honor to all of the Sunday school teachers that are missing this morning, and people that work at the church and keep it so beautiful. We give honor to all the workers and the people. Praise the Lord for that. I pray that the Lord would help all the folks, all the tall folks, all the short folks, all of the thin folks, and all of the thinly challenged folks. You know who you are. And we're going to go to the word of the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 14. And I just want to read a few verses here, starting with verse number 13. I'm kind of jumping into the middle of this narrative, but I think the Lord's going to help us. I really do need a couple of people that will help me preach today. And what I mean by that is, if I get to a point where you feel like the Lord is in that, you just call it back to me and say, amen. Why don't we practice right now? Someone just lift up their hand and say, hallelujah, you're a good God. Come on, somebody shout praises to the Lord. He's a good God. Yes, 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 yes. I got to tell my friend who's now in the front row and pastor's friend, this is an interactive church, friend. It's an interactive church. So, you know, we don't just hear the word, we respond to the word. Come on, somebody say amen. We respond to the word. Now, I got to tell you, I'm a little caffeinated. I don't know. How can I tell you that? It's not even because I'm drinking coffee. It's just my personality. So I'm Italian hyper kind of a guy. And I'm excited about the Lord all the time. That's just kind of how I roll. I'm just excited about talking about pasta as I am about the word of God. It's all good. I want to talk about what you talk about. It's good with me too. All right. Here we go. Are you ready? 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 13. And Jonathan climbed up upon his hands and upon his feet, and his armor bearer after him. And they fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer slew after him. And that first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men. Within as it were an half an acre of land, which a yoke of oxen might plow. And there was trembling in the host. Everyone say trembling. And in the field, and among the people, and the garrison, and the spoilers. Think of all the places there were trembling. There was trembling in the host, in the field, among the people, the garrison, and the spoilers. They also trembled, and the earth quaked. So it was a very great trembling. And the watchmen of Saul and Gibeah of Benjamin looked, and behold, the multitude melted away, and they went on beating down one another. I've come to just preach this word to somebody, and I've entitled it, What the Enemy Heard. Would you just put your Bibles down behind you, and would you lift up your voices, your hands, and your hearts, and would you just open up your mouth higher than your hands, and would you begin to magnify God? He is in this house today. You are a great Savior, Lord. And we worship you, Jesus. And we magnify you, Jesus. And we magnify you, Jesus. And we magnify you, Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. And now we're going to clap our hands unto the Lord before we're... Turn to someone before you're seated and tell them they're the best looking person you've seen all day, but the day's not over. So far.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. I got it. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated if you said it. Even after I describe the scene of the moment when it occurred, I think that it might fade from our memory. Yet in the scripturally so carefully crafted by the book of Samuel, there is a measurable miracle sent from God that is often overlooked by the reader. The Bible would describe two large stones that marked the passageway of Jonathan and his armor bearer. They were landmarks, and those rocks were given names. One was called Bozez, and it was situated northward against a place called Michmash. The other was called Sanah, and it rested southward against Gibeah. Jonathan and his no-name armor bearer were young warriors with great discontentment to sit idly by and wait for the enemy to plot their course. And so, with a kindred spirit, they united together, one with a sword and with other possibly just with a shield. And they said to go over into the garrison of these uncircumcised men. Jonathan said, it may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. And oh, what the scripture calls a small acre of land, Jonathan and his armor bearer climbed up on their hands, up unto a little knoll, and they killed 20 men in the garrison of the Philistines, the great enemy of Israel. In almost every setting, the book is now closed. The preacher preaches on, and indeed, it's a good sermon. But I wish for a moment to travel a few verses beyond that moment, just to show you that while the enemy of our soul often uses disparaging words and taunts our every move, and though true, Satan himself is the master of raising doubts and fears in our ears, I want you to know that when you make a move by faith, there is a sound that the enemy hears, and it's greater than anything we might ever imagine. Jonathan and his armor bearer slew 20 men, and no sooner had they completed their task than the Bible says, and I quoted it to you, there was a trembling in the host, in the field, and among all the people, in the garrison, and among the spoilers. They also trembled, everyone that was there and all those that were not there. The earth quaked, so it was a very great trembling. The earth trembled, the ground shook, insomuch that even the watchmen miles away of Saul in Gibeah looked, and behold, the multitude of the enemy, other people, started to melt away. They were so unnerved by what they heard and what they felt that they abandoned their positions and melted away. And not only that, but the Bible says the Philistines were in such panic from the sound as they trembled and as the earth shook that the scripture says that they started to beat down one another as they ran away. Can you imagine it today? Two young men took a chance on God, and the result was not only a victory over a small garrison of 20 men, but it was much more than that. The result was what the enemy heard. The enemy heard a rumbling and a quaking. The enemy heard the earth shaking. The fields were quaking. The sound was deafening. It was thunderous, reverberating as if the earth itself had been snapped like a blanket on a freshly made bed. The Philistines, so unnerved by the roar and moving of the earth, they just melted away like butter under a hot lamp. And in that process, they beat down one another as they fled the scene. Let me tell you what God does for you today. I came with a word from the Lord today. He takes your action and he magnifies your moment. There is nothing that you can do for the kingdom of God, whether in praise or in worship or in giving, that remains static or inert. When we worship, something else is taking place in the spirit world. When you give, something else is taking place in a place that you cannot see. And God is preparing to return to you 30-fold, 60, and 100-fold. When you make a sacrifice, your God will repay you by opening up the windows of heaven and pouring you out a blessing you cannot contain. And I wish I had a witness in this house today. Watch this. The difference between the children of light and the children of darkness has always been obedience. God will not tolerate disobedience. It is an affront to his holiness. The Bible says that sin came by one man through disobedience. That was Adam. And when God saw later on that his people, some of them, not all, but some of them have rejected his law, he was angry with them. And in fact, he said in Leviticus, "You did not obey me." The ground was supposed to rest, but you worked the ground through your greed. Your groves and your idols and your high places were erected, and you were hostile toward me. So now God said to all the disobedient people, the disobedient sinners, the ones who hated the law of the Lord, who were the enemies of the law and of God, God said, "Let me tell you what I'm going to do." Leviticus 26, "I will make their hearts so fearful in the lands of their enemies that the sound of a wind-blown leaf will put them to flight. They will run as though they're fleeing from the sword. They will fall even though no one is pursuing them. The sound of a shaken leaf," the Bible says, "will chase them away. They will flee as if they're fleeing from a sword." No one's chasing them, but they hear a sound of a leaf blowing, and it puts fear in their hearts. Let me tell you what the enemy hears. Every time you get up and you walk into this sanctuary, there's a stirring in the belly of hell. Every time you get in this house and you begin to magnify God, you make your way into worship, and you begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, the hearts of the enemies faint. Like a rushing mighty wind, it comes and fills this place. Oh, yes. I have four children. Tammy and I are blessed. Can I say we're blessed? But sometimes it's work. We're blessed to work. Mm-hmm. And I know what it's like sometimes to get up in the morning and try to get ready for church. And it seems like every other day could be great, but Sunday morning, that's the day. Let's get real. That's the morning you're going to have trouble. The enemy is not going to hurt you on Saturday. There's no hindrance on Friday. Monday, it's not like Sunday morning. It's not like Sunday morning. That's the day that the tire decides to go flat. That's the day that the dog bites the cat and the cat knocks over something and the kids are screaming and chaos is breaking loose. That's the morning when everything kind of goes awry. That's the day. Because the enemy knows the last place you ought to be is in the house of God. But in fact, sometimes we don't even come to church because we feel inadequate. We don't feel like we're good enough to come. I want to tell you something. At your weakest point, when you don't even really feel spiritual, when you don't really feel like you're connected to God, when you get up and you start walking into the house of God, you get prepared. You don't understand what's happening in the spirit world. God magnifies every step of your feet. Every time you get up, there's something happening. When you press through all the crowd and all the mess, every time you begin to shout out to God, what we did today with a palm, what happened today with a palm, the devil was fighting against that 2,000 years ago. He has not stopped fighting the palm, praising God. He's not stopped fighting that. The last thing he wants you to do is lift your hands and praise God. I know what we think. We think that we're only effective to the point of our hearing. We think that ours is a single voice. But the enemy, hear me now. The enemy hears the magnification by 1,000 angels. God takes a microphone to your hands and to your feet, and he magnifies it greater than what you hear. What you hear is a small decibel coming out of your own mouth. But the enemy hears a mighty roar. The enemy hears a mighty thunder. Every time we do something for the kingdom, the enemy hears something we don't hear. Give me one soul, one person washed in the blood of Jesus, in the blood of the Lamb. Give me one person redeemed by that spotless Lamb, and it is enough to make every demon in hell quake in fear. You believe that there's one God, the devil believes, and he trembles at it. Maybe we're unaware of how important our praise really is. Maybe we don't realize what damage we're doing to the kingdom of this world just by opening up our voices and praise. But I have come to tell you that there is a sound that you make that the enemy hears. And every time you open up your mouth and every time you walk into the house of God, there is something that's happening in the spirit world. The Lord is fighting our battles. Did we not read about the book of Daniel? Daniel was a man of prayer. He always had his prayers answered. Every prayer he ever prayed, God answered them immediately. But one time a prayer was prayed and there was not an answer for 3 weeks, 21 long days, until finally Gabriel came to deliver the answer to the prophet Daniel. And Gabriel said, God heard you from the first time that you prayed, but there was a battle in the heavenlies. The prince of Persia, that was a spiritual being, he withstood me until the archangel Michael came to help me. And when Michael came, the warrior and angel, then I was released to come and give you the message. I want to tell you, your pastor said it today, you might be delayed, but you are not denied. And every time you walk into this house, I got a word for you. There's a message on its way. There's a message sent from God. I read in the scripture of this place called Samaria. In the Old Testament, the Bible says it was surrounded by the Syrian armies. They were, at the time, a band of ruthless men which loved bloodshed, the bounty of the oppressed. They lived off of the bounty of the nations that they conquered. And now Samaria has now been fully encased in its own misery, which literally means they were starving to death. 2 Kings chapter 6 describes it as a great famine. And it lasted so long that the Bible says a donkey's head sold for 80 shekels of silver and a quarter of a cab of seed pods for 5 shekels. Now, I don't really even know the currency trade there, but apparently it was a place where people were struggling. Women were giving to unseemly things, eating things. The people had devolved into a grotesque group of hideous humans. They were wailing in the streets and scraping the dust from the ground. And there, just outside the gates, were the most pitiful of them all. The Bible says 4 lepers who were dying from a disease and a famine. And now at the height of their horror, those 4 hungry and emaciated lepers looked to one another. And they knew that just beyond the ridge lay the enemy's camp. The enemy had food and they had substance. It was all there. And so they turned to one another and they said, why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, the famine is back there and we'll die there. If we sit right here, we'll die right here. Now, therefore, come. Let's go to the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we'll live. If they kill us, we're going to die anyway. I've got an idea. We have no weapons, and we have no military skills. Some of us are losing fingers and toes, and death has become us, and we have become it. So the only thing we have left to our disposal is the ability to walk. Can you imagine that walking could mean something? Let's see if that's enough to save us. The Bible says that they left at twilight, and when they arrived at the enemy's camp, no one was there, and I quote, "For the Lord had caused the Syrians to hear the sound of chariots, of horses, and a great army. So they said one to another, 'Look, the king of Israel, he's hired a bunch of help. They've come to attack us.' So they got up and they ran away. The lepers reached the camp, the enemy camp, and it was completely empty. All the food they could ever want, all the wealth, the silver, the gold they could ever carry. And it happened when they were walking. When they started walking, the pitter-patter of four emaciated lepers made a sound like a great host, like a great army. When you start walking, I got a word for you. When you start walking, the enemy hears a sound." See, what you heard and what the enemy heard are two different things. You heard your inability. You heard your weakness. You heard a little bit of your own depression and anxiety. You heard a little bit of your own struggle. But what the enemy heard was a sound of a mighty army coming his way. I got a word for you. Why sit you there till you die? Get up and do something for God. Don't just sit there. Hear me now. Hear this preacher today. If you go back into the world, ladies and gentlemen, there's death in the world. Don't go back to where you came from. They're starving to death. Don't go back into the world where there's all kinds of diseases and trouble and all kinds of addictions and heartache. Don't go back into the world. That city is dying. And don't stay right where you're at. You got to get up. You got to walk. You got to work for God. You got to have revival. You got to have a prayer life. You got to do a little fasting. Think for a moment that the battle, any battle of your life is going to be easy, but I looked at that battle of Elah when David picked up five smooth stones. It wasn't over when he walked toward Goliath. And he didn't pick up five smooth stones because that's how many letters are in the name of Jesus. He did not, because David didn't even know the name, and he didn't speak English anyway. In Hebrew, his name would have been more like Jehoshua or Joshua or Yahshua, which has a lot more letters than five. But some people believe that he fought Goliath and there was four more stones, J-E-S-U-S. But that's not true. It's a nice story. It's not true. David walked down that little hill and stopped in that small creek bed in the valley of Elah. He picked up five smooth stones. It wasn't over at that moment. It wasn't over really when he put the stone in the sling. But the moment David opened up his mouth and said, "You come to me with a sword and a spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord." That was the moment it was over. It wasn't over when he put the stone into this leather sling, or when he went atop that big Goliath and drew his own sword and cut his head off and then lifted up the head so all the armies could see and the Philistines ran away. It was the moment that he said, "I'm coming in the name of the Lord." You don't know what the enemy heard, but it was over when the Ancient of Days came out of the mouth of a shepherd boy. It was the "I am that I am" roaring from beneath the garment of flesh. And I wish we knew, because we got to get some confidence in us today. You are powerful. You are filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You have authority over all kinds of things.
You need to speak to the wind and speak to the sea and speak to your problem even right now. You ought to talk to that issue right now because you got authority in your voice.
Satan remembers it full well. And I believe that Lucifer was there when Jesus took his steps toward Calvary. I've been to Israel several times and walked through those cobblestone streets. Of course, some of them have been built on top of another. Some of that land has been burned and built on top of another. But somewhere in those areas, there Jesus was. I think there was a spirit that was goading and spurring the Pharisees. I believe the devil was there luring Judas with silver and position. And the Bible says that Satan or Lucifer is the enemy of our soul. And he remembers the night. I know that he remembers the night in that garden when the temple guards have come to capture Jesus. The Lord sensed their arrival as he gently nudged his disciples to awake. Several times the Lord went back and asked. And finally the third time he said, "Sleep on now." But the temple guards came to a small place. It was a hidden place. Only Judas would have known where Jesus would have been located. They came by candlelight, by flaming torches, the clanging of the soldiers, the temple guards with their swords. They needed a witness and a guide. And either through the darkness of night or through the absence of recognition, the soldiers will stand there. And they will ask Jesus if he's the one. No one really knows who Jesus is. Not only is it dark and not only is it midnight, but there are no street lamps. There are no street lights. There's no shining illumination to give them recognition of who Jesus is. And besides that, there are at least 11 other men there. And they are all praying and they've now all gathered around. And I quote from the Bible, the temple soldiers asked the Lord, "Are you Jesus of Nazareth?" And Jesus said to them something. He said, "I am he. I am he." Now, it wasn't just a yes. He was pulling from the exact verbiage that happened in the wilderness when Moses looked over and saw a burning bush, but the bush was not consumed, so he decided to investigate why a burning bush in the desert, bushes might burn all the time, but that particular day, that there's a fire that kept going. Of course, God was in that burning bush. Moses walked over and he looked at it, and a voice came out of that bush and said, "Moses, take off your shoes because the place you're standing is holy ground." God called Moses, and when Moses said, "Who should I tell sent me? Who should I tell Pharaoh? Who should I tell the people that you want me to lead that sent me?" And God said, "Tell them, I am that I am sent you." The all in all. Every name of God wrapped up in the I am that I am. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Sidkenu, Jehovah my banner, Jehovah Jireh. All of the names of God wrapped up in that name. I am that I am. And when the temple guards, thousands of years later, after Moses had long since passed and was buried by God, when they asked Jesus, "Are you Jesus of Nazareth?" Jesus looked at them and said, "I am he." And the Bible says, and I quote, John 18, verse 6, "As soon as he had said unto them, I am, they went backward and they fell to the ground." He said it more clearly in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 8. "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which was and which is to come, the Almighty. I am." That was the words of authority. The temple guards heard the voice, capital V, speak through the worlds of existence. They heard the Ancient of Days. What they heard come out of the mouth of Jesus was the I am that I am. And they heard the voice of the Alpha and the Omega. They heard the voice of the Creator of all mankind. And when the enemy heard it, they were launched backwards and fell on the ground like someone picked them up and threw them 20 feet backward. I want to tell you what the enemy heard today. The enemy heard the sound of mighty waters. What was happening at this altar today, the enemy heard you have authority and power. And the last thing he wants you to know is that you have power over him. That's why he keeps putting thoughts in your mind. You're not going to make it. You might as well quit. I'll tell you why. Because the enemy knows, he knows that you have the authority in the scripture. He knows you have authority in the scripture. He knows you have the authority of the word of God, the blood of God. He knows when you call on the blood of God, on the blood of the Lamb, there's authority in your voice. I've been given some very good voicemails in the past, and I have to say I've had my share of equally bad voicemails. And invariably, you know, we tend to have both in our lives, some good news and some bad news. And sometimes we have to respond to the good news with a little humility, and sometimes we have to respond to the bad news with a little courage. Sometimes when it's bad, you have to just lift up your head and say, Lord, you're going to be my strength. And sometimes when it's praise or adoration, you have to bow your head and say, give God glory. I'm giving God glory. But whatever situation you have, you are a creator out of your mouth. We are made in the image of God. When God created the heavens and the earth, he spoke it out of his mouth. You are in his image. You can create or you can destroy. Jesus said, you're condemned or you are justified by your own words. Jesus said that he will take in every idle word that we ever speak out of our mouths. And so out of your mouth, when you speak things, you put it into existence. You create it. Sometimes you've got to stand up and say, I'm powerful. I don't ever want to give praise or time to the devil, but sometimes I just got to talk to the devil a little bit and say, Satan, get thee behind me. I got power in the name of Jesus. Sometimes you got to just stand up and say, I'm not going to succumb to this. I've got the power of the Lamb. Come on, somebody clap their hands unto the Lord. Oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes. That's why it's important to guard what you say, because out of your mouth there's got to be an acceptable word, because out of your mouth you can create a wonderful day. Sometimes you just got to say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. And I know that my exhortation is to minister grace to the hearers. And I know that that's what your praise is too. God's going to heal somebody tonight. God's going to heal somebody tonight. I saw a miracle in my mind. I've never been in this house. The other one was some distance away, I'm sure. But the Lord spoke to me. There's going to be a healing of miracles in this house tonight. And I want to speak it out of my mouth right now. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. I believe God's going to deliver someone tonight. He's going to heal someone tonight. I want the enemy to know we're coming tonight for a miracle and a healing. Stand with me now, if you will. Thank you. This is what Paul wrote to the church at Philippi. He said this, that at the name of Jesus, every knee. What did that mean? That means in a literal form, at the spoken name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow. Of things in heaven, things in earth. Get the picture now, things under the earth. It's just like the maniac of Gadara when Jesus stepped on the country of Gad. Can you imagine this? The Bible says there was a man possessed with 2,000, a legion of demons, and he came and worshiped, fell on his face. Can you imagine what's happening there? 2,000. And they cried out from the voice of a single man, said, we adjure you that you torment us not. and Jesus cast out the devils. And that man was sitting, he was clothed, and he was right in his right mind when they found him. He had been naked, cutting himself with stones, and he had been possessed. But the Lord set him free. Do you know where that came from? That was Jacob, who had all of his sons there. And he looked and he gave them a blessing, and some of them, he gave them a prophetic curse. But he looked over at Gad. You can read it in the Bible. He looked over at his son Gad and said, a troop shall overcome thee. A troop shall overcome thee. But thou will be set free, but a troop will overcome thee. And then he turned to Judah and said, the scepter shall not leave your hand. Jesus came from the tribe of Judah. And when Judah stepped onto the land of Gad, the scepter didn't leave his hand. And there was Gad overcome by a troop. 2,000. And God did a miracle that day. And Jesus set him free. And this is what happened. When the enemy hears the sound, even the enemy has to bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Every knee shall bow. I have to tell you what the enemy hears every time you lift up your voice and clap your hands. It is a great sound. You have power in the Holy Ghost. You have authority. You serve a God that called those things which be not as though they were. You have that God inside of you. Jesus said you should speak to the mountain, and the mountain has to move. Come on, just for a moment, lift up your voice here. Lift up your voice and your hands right now. Oh, God, we magnify you. We extol you, Lord. We adore you, Lord. We adore you, Lord. I'm just inviting you to this front, and I want you out of your mouth just begin to call on God. And I want you to pray something into existence today. Out of your mouth, speak something into existence. God is in this house. The Lord is in this house.
Every strong thing must come down. Every stronghold shall be broken. You wear the victor's crown. You overcome. You overcome. Every high thing must come down. Every stronghold shall be broken. You wear the victor's crown. You overcome. You overcome. Every high thing must come down. Every stronghold shall be broken. You wear the victor's crown. You overcome. You overcome. Every high thing must come down. Every stronghold shall be broken. You wear the victor's crown. You overcome. You overcome. Every high thing must come down. Every stronghold shall be broken. You wear the victor's crown. You overcome. You overcome. Every high thing must come down. Every stronghold shall be broken. You wear the victor's crown. You overcome. You overcome.
I need you just for a moment. I need you just for a moment, ladies and gentlemen. This is Palm Sunday. This begins the greatest week in all of human history. He marches in to Jerusalem, riding on a donkey. It's the image of kingship. But the Pharisees weren't happy about it. And in the short 7 days, they will go from Hosanna to crucify him. The enemy didn't like the sound that he heard. He much rather prefer the sound of a pounding nail into the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. They laid him down And they pounded the nails into his hands and his feet. And they should have kept him on the ground. Because Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up, the devil still didn't get it yet. He didn't get it yet. The enemy of darkness did not get it yet. When they sealed the tomb and it rattled and it rolled and they sealed it, it was a deafening sound. To all the believers, they thought it was over. But the Bible says that while Jesus was in the grave, he went and got the keys of death and hell. Come on, can you help me? Can you give me a little? Can you give me a little narrative? Wait a second. Can you give me a little freedom, a little liberty, a little writer's liberty here? Because we don't know how it happened, but can you imagine? There's a rejoicing party in hell. And Jesus in the grave, but there's a knock at the front door. And the gates of hell are kind of rattling. And one of the little devils goes to open up the door. And he don't like what he's seeing. Jesus is standing outside the gates of hell. Watch it. Watch it now. Watch it now. Everything sounded good until there was a knock at the door. Everything sounded good. I don't know how he got the keys, but maybe they didn't even open the door. Maybe they just ran back to the big guy, and Lucifer, and you know what he does. He's got to be smoking Marlboros and watching Jerry Springer. I don't know what he's doing. Hey, there's somebody at the gate. It's Jesus at the gate. The Bible says he got the keys. The last thing they should have ever done was to nail him to that cross and put him in that tomb, because the devil thought it was over, but there was a day when he came forth, and 7 days from now, we're not going to stop rejoicing. We're not going to stop lifting up hosannas. Blessed be the name of the Lord, because he's coming out of the tomb. And there's going to be a mighty praise in the people of God. Yes. Watch us now. Watch us. When they lifted him up and he hung his head, somebody should have known something was going on besides the Roman centurion. He's the only one who looked up and said, surely this was the Son of God. Because when Jesus died, the Bible says that the earth quaked and the dead came out of the tombs and started to walk around inside of Jerusalem. Can you imagine? At the sound of the mighty voice of God, everything's going to quake. Things that you think are dead, I just want to encourage you, don't sit there till you die. Don't sit there till you die. Don't go back into the world. Make a commitment. The enemy knows that sound. I want you to know the sound. This is my last moment on this Sunday morning. It's what I want you to do. I just want you to find a brother or a sister. I want you to put your hand on their shoulder or their arm, if whatever's appropriate. And I want you to pray right now that God would give us boldness in the Holy Ghost. I want you to pray right now God would give you boldness in the Holy Ghost. I want you to say it right now. Every high thing must come down. I want you to take authority over this. I want you to take authority right now out of your mouth. I command it, Lord. I take dominion over it, Lord.